This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
We are back in the bunker and ready to take on another week. And the markets, they're starting the week on a much more positive footing, but that doesn't mean that the markets are less volatile. The country continues its coronavirus watch, and, you know, that seems to be keeping everyone on high alert.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, then Representative Mike Conaway from Texas, and right after the news we spring into a weather report from Michael Clark from BAMWX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis Michelson, thank you so much, buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, before I forget, if you've got a question for Senator Grassley or for Congressman Conaway, hit me up on Twitter with that right now.
Okay.
Just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I will be sure to see it. Of course, you can call in as well. But it just gets a little tight sometimes when we've got a lot that we really want to cover with when we've got lawmakers on the line with us.
Right.
Hit me with a tweet today, and I'd be happy to do it. Let's get we got another week going here, and we've got some strength in the grains. We've got some strength in livestock. I really like the way that the cattle complex is trading right now.
Yeah.
The hog market. It's just like holding on.
Mm-hmm.
That is about all that it's doing right now. And if we could see some strength come back into that, that would be great. But Dow's more than 350 points higher this morning.
Yep.
Crude oil is getting some footing under it. I'm not here to say that the lows are in. There's no way that we can say that. I think it's just the simple fact that maybe we made it through a weekend without any, at least that I'm aware of, without any major shocking developments on the coronavirus.
Yeah, I would agree. And it could just be that the initial shock of the news, the initial scare of the outbreak, is kind of starting to ease a little bit. And it could just also be, hey, this looks like an opportunity. Let's get in. Buy low, Mortimer, type of a thing.
Exactly. All right, let's get to the news.
Yeah, I need to hurry up and read this before the Dow flips on us again. Commodities and the Dow were mostly higher as of a half hour ago when I wrote this to start the week as corn, soybeans, and livestock futures enjoy some corrective buying. After a massive wave of panic selling overtook the markets last week, signs central banks around the world will add financial support to the fight against coronavirus, hoping to stabilize the global economy, actually added some optimism. Here in the U.S., Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell suggested the Fed is poised to cut rates if necessary, prompting Goldman analysts to predict a 0.5% rate cut in the second quarter. Chip, it's not that long ago that they were saying, we're not going to have to do anything with rates through 2020, we're just going to let her run. And now we've got this black swan, and we're talking about a rate cut.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interest rates. It could be shocking what they end up doing with interest rates when this is all said and done. It really could be. I mean, we wouldn't be the, let's just go this route. We wouldn't be the first to go to a 0% interest rate.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. China released its February Purchasing Managers Index on Saturday, and the reading was a record low, lower, Chip, even than during the financial crisis of 2008 and 9. The PMI and the non-manufacturing services sector benchmarks both fell well below the expectations of investors. Private measures of economic activity in China also came in at record lows. Now, Chip, the worldwide death toll from coronavirus surged past 3,000 over the weekend, with two deaths confirmed in the United States. China reported its total number of infections surpassed 80,000, while South Korea watched its total infections rise above 4,200. Indonesia also confirmed its first case of the virus. President Trump is said to be mulling heightened border controls as Mexico reports its first cases, and also sending the value of the peso roughly 1% lower. Are we concerned about the value of the peso, Chip?
Oh, absolutely. We're concerned about it. I mean, you would like to see Mexico maintain a the ability to buy the product that we've got, corn and pork.
Right.
The currency fluctuations are another one of the tentacle stories that are coming along with this coronavirus story.
All right. Well, Vice President Mike Pence, who was tagged by the president to head up the efforts to deal with the outbreak in the U.S., has authorized state health officials to close schools if necessary. But Pence also pointed out, quote, other than in areas where individuals that have been infected with the virus, people need to understand that for the average American, the risk remains low. Pence made those comments to NBC News on Sunday. And in other news, after months of inactivity, North Korea shot two missiles into the waters between South Korea and Japan over the weekend. This after reports the South Korean army has been forced to quarantine 10,000 soldiers after 25 tested positive for coronavirus. And finally, Chip, after a poor showing in the South Carolina primary, South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg has dropped out of the race for the Democratic presidential nomination. Yep. With Super Tuesday looming, Buttigieg said Democrats need to field the, quote, right kind of nominee if the party hopes to defeat President Trump. Chip.
Yeah, Super Tuesday coming right up. That is, what is it, like 1,300 delegates are up for grabs?
Yes, somewhere right in there. I don't have the exact number in front of me.
Yeah,
right around 1,300.
But you got California in the mix. You've got Texas in the mix. This is going to tell us a lot about who the candidate is going to be. And as of right now, Senator Sanders still has a lead in the delegate count. All right, let's get to Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Chip. How are you?
I am just fine. You know, last week when we talked, you were hinting that when we get into March, we're going to see these above normal temperatures become more commonplace. And boy, based on everything I'm seeing right now, everybody else kind of got caught up to you, Michael.
Yeah, it's going to get really warm, man. I mean, it's going to be nice, and it's going to get windy too. So that's really going to help dry things out. I mean, it's going to be nice the next few weeks.
Okay, so this is like complete opposite of year ago.
Absolutely. I mean, the last few years. I mean, the big thing is we don't have this big southeastern ridge. So all of our heavy rainfall is down in the deep south and the southeast. Yeah. And here in the Midwest, we're left with, over the next 7 days, some places maybe getting a quarter inch of rain at best. I mean, it's just drier and warmer. So definitely different.
You know, I think the NWS continues to keep above normal precipitation for the Midwest in there, but you're telling us no.
The next 7 days, it's very dry. I mean, in the next 7 days, you have places that are, you know, 5 to 10% of the normal in the central U.S. Now, something very important is the week two outlooks from last week that were very wet rolled into the current week one. Have all zapped it. They were way overdone. It's way drier than what the longer term models had. So we need to watch that.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, let's get together on Wednesday morning and we'll talk for 10, 12 minutes about your spring outlook, okay?
That sounds great. Looking forward to it.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Michael. That is Michael Clark from BAMWX.com. He was on top of this warming trend early in the process. So thank you to Michael for that. Yeah, some warm temperatures coming our way. And we've also got Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa coming up next right here on AgriTalk.
. 2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy companies' work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hey, Ross. Well, last week we talked about Syngenta's commitment to new products, but what else does Syngenta offer in the way of seed care?
As the number one seed treatment provider in the world, we understand that having great products is only part of a winning equation. We also need to offer the best customer service when it comes to accurately using and stewarding those treatments in the field. As a result, we have dedicated seed care sales and technical support teams who work directly with their resellers and local markets to make sure they can help growers extract the greatest value from our products.
Thanks, Ross. For more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
Precision Planting knows you want your plants to have the most consistent emergence possible this season, because delayed emergence means yield loss. In order to do that, you need to know the cause of erratic emergence. We understand this can be difficult, which is why Precision Planting has researched over 10 million individual plants across the country to determine the causes of erratic emergence. What Precision Planting learned was that in order to achieve consistent emergence, you need to clear residue, maintain depth, eliminate compaction, sense soil moisture, firm seed, and close the furrow with no evidence the planter was ever there. How do you get all these things right during the planting pass? That's what the Precision Planting Emergence System was designed for. Contact a Precision Planting dealer today to add the Precision Planting Emergence System to your planter, or visit precisionplanting.com/emergence to learn more. Make 2020 a year that your fields have consistent emergence of every plant, leading to a high yield potential. Avoid the revenue loss and regret that comes with erratic emergence, and instead be proud of your stands.
The first 24 to 48 hours after planting are critical to reaching the full yield potential in your seed. BioForge Advance from Stoller helps crops guard against weather-related stress that robs yield. Get your crops off to a great start with BioForge Advanced seed treatment this season. BioForge Advance can also be used in furrow, at planting, or in foliar applications. For winning yields in every field, start with Stoller and BioForge Advanced. Learn more at StollerUSA.com. At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EndsUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store, and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EndsUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EndsUp at Brandt.co.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Yep.
And we are joined now by Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Senator Grassley, good morning to you.
Hello there.
Everything okay there?
Yes, I got back from Iowa over the. I was there for the weekend.
Yeah.
And I got back about 5:30. Got to the office at about 6:10 this morning, and things have run pretty smoothly. But that's kind of typical of Mondays. It's Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I might have something different to tell you.
I hear you. Boy, you enjoyed some beautiful weather back here in Iowa over the weekend.
I sure did. You bet.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to start with kind of the headline news, the news of the day, and that's the coronavirus, Senator. Are you getting a daily briefing, or what is the status? What's the information flow?
The last secret briefing I had was a week ago right now. So I haven't had any updates since then, but I think that I don't really need it from this standpoint that the 8 or 10 agencies that are involved with it, most often CDC speaking up, or the Secretary of HHS, that they're keeping the not just the members of Congress, but the entire country fully informed, and they ought to. There's no reason for not being totally transparent on it. And then also, before the end of the week, we may have an appropriation bill that would be an emergency appropriation bill to take care of some of the problems that we may not be fully up to date on. Vaccines, the masks to be available, tests to be available, things like that, that maybe we aren't geared up as much as we should be.
Gotcha. So you've got good people in place. We've just got to let them do their job and make sure that they're funded to get their job done, right?
And I think they are doing their job. The president's being briefed regularly. I think it's almost a full-time job for Vice President Pence and the five or six key people under him that head up the various agencies to keep on top of it.
Got it.
I think the president has made a wise decision at the time he made not to have travel from China to the United States or vice versa. I think he was condemned for that at the time, but I think people now realize that was a very important decision to make. And then not having people come from Iran, but the president's offer to help Iran, if we can help them in any way, if they just ask for it. I don't think they've asked for it. And then parts of urging people not to travel to parts of Italy or parts of right. South Korea.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Let's take a turn in the conversation here, and I want to go to biofuels, because Administrator Wheeler at the EPA last week testified, and it sounds like they are finally going to follow the letter of the law on the RFS as it refers to the small refinery exemptions. Is that your read?
Yeah, and I think it's only come because we had a favorable decision out of the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals
yep.
that in turn said that at least in three areas, now that's only three out of maybe 80 over the last two administrations,
yep.
but anyway, some 80 waivers, and at least three of them shouldn't have been granted. Now, how many more? I don't know whether it goes further than those three. But I think it puts a stop to the kind of the willy-nilly approach that EPA took to granting these waivers, and particularly the increase in the number of waivers that have been granted in the recent 3 years.
Right. Yeah, this seems like really good news for us. And I was told by more than a few last week at Commodity Classic when they heard that you were going to be on the show with me this morning to say thank you for your support for ethanol and for biodiesel and making some of this happen out there. So passing that on from a lot of corn growers from across the country.
I appreciate the thank you. It's something that has taken up a great deal of the time of me and Senator Ernst, and I want to make sure the corn growers give her credit for it too, because she's on the phone. I usually want to talk to the president face-to-face, or sometimes I do it by handwritten note to get my points across. She talks to him on the phone quite frequently, and I know she's talked to him maybe not dozens of times, but more than a handful of times on this very issue, urging the president to do exactly what the law says.
Gotcha. Very good. Tell me about the legislation or the bill that you are introducing with Senator Udall.
Well, we have not had an increase in the fees that mining companies and petroleum companies have paid for their royalties to the federal government since the 1980s. And I think they need to be updated at least to reflect inflation. And I don't know whether the figures we put in, to what extent it reflects inflation. It probably doesn't reflect 100% of the inflation since the 1980s, but they ought to be increased.
Right. Now, what will this do? Because is this part of the tax credits that we're always hearing about, you know, kind of a sweetheart deal for the oil companies?
No. This will be fee as... whatever the companies extract, including oil as well as mining companies, whatever they extract from public lands and only public lands, they pay a royalty on, because technically it belongs to the taxpayers of the country. It's not on private land, it's on public land. So they pay a royalty. And this would have the royalty in oil equal to what companies already pay for offshore.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Good, good. Another one that's very important to all of our listeners out there, Senator, are, of course, prescription drug prices. And I know that you've been making some progress there, right?
Just had a conversation with the president this morning on that subject, and I won't divulge a private conversation, but I can say that the public has heard him say publicly, including in his State of the Union address, he wants to get drug prices down. Yeah. And that was reinforced this morning with his telephone conversation with me.
Okay. So what's going to – is it's going to take a piece of legislation to force this, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the only bipartisan bill that can pass the Congress of the United States. It's got a longer title than Prescription Drug Price Reduction Act, but it's a Grassley-Wyden bill. It's a bipartisan bill. It's the only bipartisan bill that can get 60 votes in the United States Senate. The president again said he supports it. Not only this morning, but he said so in his State of the Union address. Yep. It was backed up the next morning with Vice President Pence saying on Fox and Friends, Fox News, that the president backed the Grassley-Wyden bill. There's been a bill passed the House of Representatives, but it's a partisan bill in the House of Representatives, and it will not get 60 votes in the United States Senate. So our bill is the only bill.
But will your bill get the support of the House eventually?
I've got to work that out with Speaker Pelosi. I'm not going to try to do that by myself, but since Wyden is the Democrat leader on my committee where I chair, he and I need to do that together, and I think we'll attempt to do that. Just exactly when. Okay. Another goal I have to do is to get more Republican co-sponsors in the United States Senate.
Exactly. Okay, 45 seconds left here, Senator. What else is on the agenda for this week?
We're going to have the emergency appropriation bill for the virus problems that we're dealing with. We've already talked about that. Then we're going to have some nominations up. And we're also going to deal with a parks bill as well.
Okay, very good. Senator, thank you so much for making time for us again today. We really appreciate it.
Okay, goodbye. Thank you.
All right, you bet. That is Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. Boy, I tell you, the coronavirus obviously taking up a lot of the time. And I like his read. I like the senator's read on Wheeler's testimony last week that, basically that EPA's hands are tied now by the rules and the letter of the law of the RFS going forward. All right, when we come back, going to have a conversation with Congressman Mike Conaway from Texas next on AgriTalk.
The sounds of success vary from person to person. Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. Along with 43 new varieties this year, Credenz soybeans come with agronomic expertise from BASF. That means expert advisors who bring local insights on seed selection, management decisions, and crop protection options. Knowing the kind of success you're shooting for? That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end-of-season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted-use pesticide.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
And joining us right now is ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, it's a lot more fun to do Markets Now on a day like today, isn't it?
It is, Chip. You know, new month, new week, and here we go. And the corn market's up, soybeans are up, meal and oil, they're both higher as well. Just can't get the wheat market to participate right now. It's still under some pressure as we see more liquidation of longs in that market.
Yeah, and the Dow's up 550 points. That's got to be kind of an attitude changer.
Yeah, you know, just the broad, I think, more of a risk on or less of a risk aversion attitude here to kick off the week. We'll see if it continues. You know, when you look at the charts, we still have a lot of ground to make up. Last week was a rough one, definitely, yep, for bulls across all assets, risk-based assets. But, yep, you know, we're off to at least a solid start here to kick off.
Yeah, I like the way that the cattle market is trading here this morning, but this hog trade, it seems like they're concerned about a backload of shipments or something in this hog market. Right?
Yeah, hogs is disappointing. Mixed tone right now. We did have firmer trade early on following the cattle higher, but you mentioned cattle, and they're sharply higher across the board, both live cattle and feeder cattle. The hogs, they opened with just slight to moderate gains and a back down to a mixed to mostly firmer tone. So, you know, hey, the other thing to keep in mind here, it's March 2nd, so those tariff waivers that Chinese firms can start applying for, that starts today. So hopefully we have some positive news on the Chinese demand front here shortly.
Yeah, maybe phase one will start to look and feel more like phase one that's been advertised. Thank you, Brian.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Monday, Monday, so good to me.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Hello.
Yeah. Normally, this would be the time that we would have a conversation with Machinery Pete, Greg Peterson, but we're going to do that later in the week. We've got a time schedule for that because right now we've got Congressman Mike Conaway from the 11th District of Texas. He joins us right now. Congressman Conaway, it has been too long. Welcome back to AgriTalk.
Well, thanks, Jim. I was beginning to think you guys had forgot about me altogether.
Yeah, whatever.
Never.
You know that's not going to happen.
I'll be back with you, but thanks for having me on.
Yeah, love having you on. You know, it's a different year for you, isn't it? We've got an election coming up in November that you're not going to be taking part of, or at least your name isn't going to be on the ballot.
Well, I'm in the relaxed caucus. Those of us that are not running for re-election have joined the caucus of folks who aren't, you know, not raising money and not asking people for votes and that kind of thing. But it's also a bit, you know, melancholy because it's my last March 2nd in office and, you know, all those kind of things that are going through your head that, because I love the job. I love what I've been able to do. Yeah. But you know, all good things come to an end and it's now time for somebody else to represent District 11 and get in the fight. But it's been a terrific run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Does it change how you go about things between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, I'm trying not to let that affect it.
Good.
Obviously, you know, I've got a very conservative voting record. I don't think you'll see much change there.
Right.
I hope to, you know, it's up to me to keep the energy up and keep doing what I've been doing at the same pace. And I've not done a lot of town halls in January, February because of the contested primary. We had 11 people running or 10 people running for District 11 on the Republican side. And so
wow.
I stayed out of that fight. But once the primary's over tomorrow, or at least goes into runoff, I'll go back to my normal schedule of town halls and all the things that I've been doing.
Okay.
Gotcha. Just to keep that energy up.
Gotcha. Who's going to take your place on the Ag Committee in the House?
I hope whoever's elected from District 11. We've got some good people, but there's also a young guy running in District 13 named Josh Weingartner, who's I've endorsed for Mac Thornberry's replacement, and he would make a good guy on the Ag Committee as well.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Do you want to start with MFP or with WHIP Plus?
Either one. Both of them are important to our farmers out there.
Let's start with WHIP Plus because there's some new eligibility on this, right?
Yep. Yeah, we looking at the $3 billion that was going to be for the disaster deal, we were trying to figure out how do we incorporate drought in the WHIP area and under WHIP Plus. We found that there was about $1.5 billion left over from the 17 money that was not going to get spent. And so my team working with CBO and others tried to know how can we roll that into 18-19 to enhance that, and in doing so, pick up drought. We knew that we couldn't do drought by itself. We knew we needed some allies with the extra moisture and other things happening, sugar and that stuff. So broadening the tent to be able to get at the issues that were important to producers out there who were affected by too much rain and too little rain that happened. We're able to put together that coalition and roll that over and hit into WHIP Plus. And so that sign up starts here soon, and it's going to be it's going to be benefit producers out there who are affected by drought,
right?
As well as too much moisture.
Yeah, yeah, and some of that is headed to sugar beet country, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Good. That's good.
Yeah, it'd be sugar beets, there was drought throughout Missouri and through Texas and everything else, and then the losses under quality losses and too much moisture, excess moisture is important to the sugar beet guys.
Have we figured out how the payment is going to be determined for quality losses yet?
I think USDA is still working on the quality factors at this point in time. And my team will be working with them as that's developed. But short answer is no, that's not publicly available yet. But we're working with them to see how that's gonna come to fruition.
Gotcha. Okay. So that was another $1.5 billion that came in, or is now available or eligible
payout. That's money that already been appropriated.
Right.
So we're going to use it. It couldn't get spent on 17 because the losses didn't warrant it. And we rolled that into that. We were able to, working with Senator Hoven and CBO to get that showed up.
Got
that we could actually get that over into 18-19 losses.
Okay, very good, very good. Now MFP, there's been some critics of the market facilitation program payment. What's your message to those that are critical of the payment of the program?
Well, look at the facts. We've had 30 years of cheating by China that's impacted our producers and narrowing is China cheating down to just the ag world, been oversubsidizing their products and affecting the prices. And so the president, doing the right thing, said we do enough of that. And so he got this phase one deal done. It was a hard fought negotiation, and the folks that had no voice in the fight, so to speak, the producers out there were being impacted by the retaliatory measures that China was implementing. Many of those were illegal. And so, the farm bill, crop insurance were targeted for issues that were unrelated to a monster trade fight of the scope that the president picked with China and got done. And so the payments were necessary. The president likes to argue that the tariffs and they were coming in as a result of what he put on on China and others is where the money is coming from to pay that, and our farmers were protected in many ways, not made whole, but at least kept in the fight while this trade this phase one thing was being negotiated. And so it was the right thing to do, and I'm supportive of what the president has done.
Okay. What about a third round of MFP payments?
Well, certainly the president's agreeable to it. I as well. No one saw coronavirus coming in terms of phase one, and we still don't know the impact. I was listening to the pork guy just prior to you and I coming on, and he said there's some movement there, but none of us know that phase one is going to kick in as quickly as it, I think, was negotiated in good faith. We have real-time measures to make sure that China's meeting their commitments, but it may be one of those circumstances that coronavirus and the impact it's had on China would not allow them just mechanically to do what they wanted to do. And so if phase one's not working, then on a quickly and timely basis for this 2020 crop year, then I believe a third round would be warranted.
Yeah, I was going to ask you when phase one is going to start to look and feel like phase one, but I don't think it's a fair question anymore because of the coronavirus. So
you're spot on, Chip. That's exactly right. Yeah. And it's not something the Chinese did to try to, we don't want to comply with phase one. So here's an idea. Let's trigger this coronavirus thing. So I think it was negotiated in good faith. I think we obviously had measures in place to make sure that the Chinese were meeting their obligations. But this coronavirus thing is a trump card that none of us saw. Bad phrase. Is a issue that's none of us saw coming.
Right, right. I just asked Senator Grassley when he is getting updates and in what form. He said his last private briefing was a week ago today. Are they doing anything different in the House to keep the members up to speed?
Yeah, we had one Friday morning with all the folks that are involved with the responses, and then of course you saw the folks that are with the president on his press conferences, things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm actually getting a report out of China coming through a source I've got that's, interesting that the Chinese themselves are beginning to distrust their own government. They're beginning to express distrust in their own government, which is a bit unusual because with their social score they've got over there, these folks that say anything separate from what the government's saying, run the risk of disappearing. Mm-hmm. And
right.
So the heat is on inside China. Xi Jinping has got a lot of problems with this coronavirus, the response that's not working over there. And so, the House is being kept apprised pretty regularly.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, you would think that with the stress that President Xi is facing, that they would do anything they possibly could to get more food and some of this pork into the country, I would think, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. And part of the problem is they've got he walks a tightrope with folks on both ends of it shaking. That is, he can't. He's got a safe face. He's got to be seen as in control. He's got to be careful how he spends whatever it is he's doing. But hungry people are going to do things that non-hungry people don't do. And you're exactly right. I would have thought they would have figured out a way to be working toward getting as much into the country as they could to allow them to tap down whatever unrest is going on is beginning to foment. I saw two or three articles, pretty stunning things that people are posting on social media that they typically don't do in direct affront to Xi Jinping, which is dangerous for those folks to do it.
Yep, I've got about a minute left. Super Tuesday includes Texas. I hope it goes better for Texas than it did for Iowa.
The good news is we just simply count votes.
Yeah.
We don't count feet, divide by two, and all that kind of stuff. We just count votes, and so I think the results should work a little quicker than
yep.
Iowa.
You know, we were talking about some of the candidates that are coming on. Just real quick, can the Republicans take the House in November?
We've got a great chance. Obviously, President Trump has to win. If he gets beat, then no. But if he wins, his coattails should help. There are 31 districts out there where he won in 16 that a Democrat currently sits in, and most all of them voted to impeach him. Our polling in those 31 districts shows he's still very popular. So. Obviously, it's a long time between now and then, but I think we've got a really good shot at it.
Excellent.
Our official team is working hard to make sure we've got good candidates and that they've got the resources necessary to compete.
Good. Congressman, thank you so much for your time. We're going to do it again soon.
All right, Chip. Keep my number, buddy. Don't ignore me just because I'm not coming back next year.
That will not happen. Thank you so much. That is Representative Mike Conaway from the 11th District of Texas. When we come back, Davis and I will wrap up.
The power of Senex Lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Farm Journal Hemp College is going south. Check out the upcoming college happening March 25th in Lubbock, Texas. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, and legal considerations. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions and see if it's a good fit for you. Register for Hemp College in Texas today by visiting agweb.com/events/hemp-college.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Protect diesel engines with premium Senex lubricants. Choose SuperLube TMS, a conventional heavy-duty diesel engine oil engineered to deliver protection for new, current, and older diesel engines. SuperLube TMS protects against soot, prevents sludge deposits, and slows oil thickening. The power needed to weather long hours and heavy, dusty road conditions. The power of Senex lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
Senex is a brand of CHS.
We're talking now with Hugh McGillivray. He is the Chief Commercial Officer for Anuvia Plant Nutrients. Hugh, yield and return on investment. I mean, boy, that is a couple of front burner items for producers. What have you got from Anuvia that's helping them out?
Yeah, we have a new product called Zymtrix 20S that we've been using in the U.S. in the last couple of years that we just introduced. It's an enhanced efficiency fertilizer. We use a novel mechanism to deliver nutrients slowly. We're taking organic materials, breaking them down to the amino acid level, and then binding inorganic nutrients to it to create this new mechanism, which we call the organic matrix. We're using a very novel method to make it. It's a product that will deliver nutrients more efficiently to the crop.
Wow. Okay, so with that kind of a product, you've got to have some field trial results out there. What do you got from 2019?
Yeah, so we're seeing real good results in the field. We've had about 3 years of research now, and we've got real good results again in 2019, really a replication of what we've been seeing the last few years. We're getting, on average, about a 5% yield increase when we substitute conventional nutrition with Zymtrix. It plugs right into what farmers are doing today. That, if you look at it in corn, we're seeing about a 6 to 7 bushel improvement with just a simple substitution of typical nitrogen sulfur that would be used on the farm. And that's ultimately translating into about a 3 to 5 time return on investment for the grower.
That's the kind of a product that a grower is looking for, Hugh. Thank you so much. That is Hugh McGillivray. He is the Chief Commercial Officer for Anuvia Plant Nutrients. For more information, visit www.futureoffertilizer.com.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number 2 diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Senex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, Typical Number 2. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Yeah.
Davis, did you hear Congressman Conaway say that there are 11 Republicans that are trying to get their name on the Republican ballot for November in his district?
Yes. Yes.
That's, that's people stepping up. Mm-hmm. I love hearing that.
Sure.
You know, when you hear that there's, you know, they're having to go out and recruit, and we finally got two people so that we can have a conversation in a district. That's disappointing, but man, 11. Yeah.
A robust field of candidates serves the voting public very, very well. Lots
Absolutely.
Of options there. Yep, that's
Absolutely
what we need.
Absolutely it does. Yeah. So the Dow is back on top of 26,000.
Okay.
It's up about 620 points right now. That's off the highs.
All right.
But nonetheless, it is a big day that we've got going in this market. One day doesn't fix what is happening.
Sure.
It should not be taken as an indication that the market is done working to the downside. The volatility, I think, is going to be on the rise. It's going to be hard to take before everything is said and done in this in the equities trade and potentially in the grain and livestock trade too, Davis. I feel like we are just starting to scratch into what is going to be the real influence or the real impacts of coronavirus on the global economy. Disruption in shipments is never good. But you think about what we've done to the supply chain over the last 40 years. We've turned it into a FedEx market in many ways. You know, the just-in-time deliveries, end users, producers of products don't want to hold on to an inventory. They want to manage their inventory in such a way that they don't get their inputs until they need them.
Yep.
Well, and disrupt that.
Right.
Good grief.
Exactly. And you know, sometimes we talked last week how this event is exposing our level of exposure, I guess, to the import market when it comes to especially, you know, consumer goods. And I think maybe this is a good chance for every country to stop and take a look at their supply chain management and just, you know, how short they're willing to run on inventories, on stocks, in light of the possibilities that this kind of thing can happen, you know, with very little warning.
Yeah, and Representative Conaway's comments about the pressure that Chinese President Xi Jinping is probably feeling right now.
Yeah.
I think he's exactly right. You've got to believe that they are looking for an answer, a way to get back out in front of this coronavirus and to get things under control. You know, it is a strange dynamic that is happening in the analysis of this coronavirus right now, Davis, because you've got there was a doctor on one of the news networks this morning that I was watching that was talking about, you know, as soon as we start to test more here in the United States, we're going to go from 80 to 400 or whatever number it is.
Right. Yep.
Of confirmed cases, and it's going to happen immediately and it'll happen overnight. Well, that's why I'm thinking that when we get something like that, I got a feeling it'll be difficult to have the Dow up 600 points the next day.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, the rational mind would say, all right, whether we test them or not,
yep,
those cases have,
yep,
occurred. They, yep, are infected. If we didn't know about it, could we have gone on with our normal lives and not had such a big thing to worry about? Possibly. I mean, it's, yep, a 2% death rate, and yep, I don't mean to be flip.
No, you can't be. You can't be. And that 2% is... Mm-hmm. Among those most vulnerable.
Right.
Okay. When you look at the overall death rate, it is worse than influenza, than the flu.
Sure.
Okay. But it's still less than 0.5% is how I understand it.
Well, I tell you what, here's my offering to, yeah, the beloved radio listening audience.
Yes.
If those cases begin to skyrocket, I think I'll probably just take it upon myself to quarantine myself,
yep,
for the 15 days and just, mm-hmm, stay home, catch up on my Netflix a little bit, and, completely take myself out of the mix. This way nobody gets infected on my account. What do you say?
Well, I think that's, everything that you said there makes sense to me, except for catching up on the Netflix.
Oh, come on!
There's still ways to do your job.
I got so sucked into a Netflix show on Rome over the weekend. It was fascinating. I thought, I need to spend more time with my remote. This is great.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Oh, a message from Joe Stackler, from producer Joe Stackler.
Yeah.
And this is according to Dr. Obvious, that the coronavirus does not travel through the radio.
See, and I don't think that we can know that. I have no assurance. No doctor has told me that.
Well, Dr. Obvious is telling you right now that the coronavirus does not travel through the radio. Wow. Okay, guys, we've got a big week coming your way. This afternoon, we talked earlier with Michael Clark, just got a little bit of his idea what to expect this growing season. We're going to talk with him again on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
But before that, we've got Ed Valley from Empire Weather is on this afternoon, and we're going to do the same thing. It's March, dude.
It is
time
March
to get ready and figure out exactly what we should be expecting as we get the growing season up and started. So we've got that going on. And tomorrow morning on AgriTalk, we've got Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy.
All right.
Will be joining us to talk about his recent meetings. All right. Come back this afternoon for more AgriTalk.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly, or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.